and welcome to the only show you need to get you through your Thursday, to get you through your commute, to get you through the progressive insanity of Seattle and D.C. politics. You're listening to The Jason Rand Show. We are live on AM 770 KTTH and 94.5 FM on the Greater East Side. We got a lot to get to, only 3 hours to do it. A Bothell High School closes over coronavirus concerns, but was it necessary? We're going to get into that. AOC has the dumbest coronavirus response we've seen all day. Plus, Seattle's navigation team may actually lose funding, which means more encampments. We'll explain why when we come back. But first, let's get you home the right way with Right Way Traffic. I've got the last remaining tickets to tomorrow night's debate, 7 to 9 p.m. in Tacoma at the Washington State History Museum. I'll be moderating the debate with the top five gubernatorial candidates. I'm going to give you a chance to win the final pairs of tickets in the next 10 minutes. But first, let's find out what's trending.
What's trending? Your health.
So, Bothell High School was closed today out of an abundance of caution, I would argue, probably irrationally so.
I'm going to make the decision that best serves the health and safety of our students, staff, and families. And if I have to err on one side or the other, I'm going to err on the side of caution.
First of all, it's not err. But okay, fine. Although I think the superintendent of North Shore Schools should know how to pronounce It's E-R-R, it's That's Michelle Reed. She said one of its staff members is under quarantine after they travel to another country where the coronavirus cases have actually been reported.
The medical direction that the staff member has received is that they are to self-quarantine at home for 14 days. So therefore, that would not include coming to work.
So the staff member is not sick, but a family member that they went with is showing some symptoms and is currently being monitored at the hospital for coronavirus. Now, the North Shore School District says that that staff member was at school on Monday and came into contact with students and faculty, which makes sense, which is why they're closing everything down for the time being. What I think is kind of interesting in all of this is presumably the students for which the staff member had contact with might also want to go through some kind of quarantine. We're learning more and more about the coronavirus, suggesting that it is way more contagious than we previously thought. They used to say that the flu was more contagious. Now they're saying, no, coronavirus is definitely more contagious. Now, in response to all of this, the district is actually going to disinfect the high school. They've been doing it today. They've been wiping it down. They've been wiping down the surfaces. And their superintendent spoke to Cairo 7 TV to say this.
Our health department's provided EPA-approved disinfectants, and the CDC recommends hard surfaces and disinfecting essentially the surfaces that students or staff might come into contact with.
Now, to be clear, even though the Seattle and King County Public Health Department is saying, you know, they're doing what they think is best, they did not recommend that Bothell High School be closed today. They're okay with the decision. Again, they're leaving this up to the superintendent, but the district made the call on this, not public health. Now, parents are going to know within the next few hours whether or not school is going to be back in session tomorrow. I look at something like this, and I'm saying it's going to cause needless panic. This will cause needless panic. I do think we're all going to die from the coronavirus because I've seen the movie Outbreak and Contagion and Resident Evil. Like, I know where this is headed, but this is going to cause some needless panic. And we already know ways that people can protect themselves. A lot of people actually think they should be buying the surgical masks. I almost bought some yesterday, but I was on Amazon and I noticed how expensive all of a sudden they were. And they said that it would take like 2 to 3 weeks for them to get to us. But they're very clearly some people are jacking up the price. Not Amazon, because you're buying it from third-party people on Amazon. I guess they're already all sold out. But people are jacking up the prices needlessly. Because it turns out the surgical masks don't actually work for this. Dr. Jeffrey Duchin with Public Health said the masks to Como TV are not as effective as some other strategies that one could actually use.
Those masks really don't block the particles. Air can come around the side of them and you can inhale droplets if someone close to you is coughing or sneezing. There is some speculation that they can hurt in the sense that people may not take the other precautions that we suggest.
Okay, you want to know what some of the other precautions are? And I don't know if I feel good about this. They basically say just wash your hands. Producer David, who's filling in today for Peyton, they say to wash your hands, use Purell and stuff. People are dying. Tens of thousands of people are being exposed to the coronavirus and getting sick. And you're telling me the best way to deal with this is just some Dial soap?
Like, we should have all been washing our hands a bunch anyways,
but
right?
No one washes their hands because people are disgusting. And by the way, side note, and then we'll get back into this, we've all seen folks in public restrooms who clearly are on the way out without washing their hands until they realize that you're there, and then they do the quick, oh, I was walking in this general direction by accident. I was totally going to wash my hands. No, you weren't. We all know. But, you know, for something that is so contagious, potentially deadly, though still, let's not freak out too much. The rate of death is 2%. And of those 2%, those are the people who are already sick, had some sort of compromised immune system. They tend to be much older. Not all of them. And we're still learning more about this. But that's it, Purell. That's going to stop this disease. That's going to stop this virus from spreading. Should I feel good about that, that it's that easy? Should I feel bad because I realize people are very, very lazy and don't actually like to wash their hands? Dr. Santiago Nimi is an infectious disease expert over at UW Medicine. Speaking to Como TV, says, yeah, stop it with the stupid surgical masks.
For the general population, masks is not where we should focus our prevention effort.
Can I also say one thing? Please stop wearing the masks in public because you're freaking everybody out. I totally understand that in China, for example, there's a cultural norm around that, and they do it actually in an awesome way. They're doing it to protect you from their germs, not to protect themselves from your germs. Awesome. Totally get that. That's not the norm here. I was on the bus the other day, and I saw someone with this mask on, and I immediately assumed the person is sick and we're all going to die on what's already a wandering Petri dish. Because the buses don't get cleaned the way that you expect them to get cleaned. And the more you think about it, it's just nauseating, frankly. When you wear the masks, people are going to look at you and believe that you are sick. And so I don't want to see any more stories, whether it's on Como or King or Cairo or Q13, saying, oh, people are saying that they're being stereotyped because they're wearing these masks. Yes, because that's what we've been taught to do in this country, is to see you with the mask saying, oh, my gosh, you're sick. More and more of these cases are popping up. Now, what's kind of funny, down in California, their governor, Gavin Newsom, gave a little bit of an update on the coronavirus and how they're dealing with it. And they're all like, we are doing things so well.
We are not overreacting, but nor are we underreacting to the understandable anxiety many people have as it relates to this novel virus. At the same time, no better resource state in America to address this issue head on.
They are the best, so much better than here in Washington, right? You probably have no one sick in California.
As of today, and I say as of today at this hour, we have 33 confirmed positive tests.
That's a lot, because I thought we were only at like 60 in this country. You now have 33 confirmed? Okay, the good news is they're all quarantined and they're all staying in their homes or in a hospital out there in California.
For the virus. Five individuals have subsequently moved out of state.
That's not good. That's not good. That's kind of how viruses like this spread. Why did you let them leave? This is the best resource state in the entire country. We know that now we believe that the coronavirus is way easier to get than the flu. And we already go crazy about the flu shot and whatnot. You're letting them go? They couldn't stay in California. You couldn't quarantine them for 14 days as you were doing the test. My assumption is they moved during the period of time in which they were waiting for the results. And that part's important because CNN is reporting that for the first time in this country, we have someone who has coronavirus, but they have no clue exactly how they got it. Obviously, it was them coming into contact with someone with coronavirus, but they didn't realize that they were coming in contact with someone with coronavirus. And the dude, the patient's from California, didn't travel anywhere known to have this virus. CDC made this claim earlier today. They say the patient wasn't exposed to anyone known to be infected, which means this could be the first U.S. case of community spread of the virus when the source of the infection is unknown. So lots of conflicting stories out there as to how serious this is and whether or not it's going to kill you. I tried to do some research the other night as we were waiting for a movie. A friend of mine and I were sitting there. We got there early and we started talking about the coronavirus. And we're like, I don't think it kills like healthy people. And then I did some research and like a 29-year-old guy who's a doctor was killed in China as a result of this. In fact, two 29-year-old doctors. So when you close a school out of an abundance of caution, when you're not certain anyone has it. Like, I get it. It makes sense. But you're also freaking people out. But to be fair, we're all freaked out anyway. So I guess maybe we should err on the side of caution. You're listening to The Jason Rand Show. When we come back, guess what? Someone is sending out mailers in Everett over pot stores possibly coming to the neighborhood. Only almost every single thing in their flyer is 100% incorrect. We're going to get into that story. Plus, we're going to give you a pair of tickets to tomorrow night's debate in just a moment. First, let's get you home the right way with Right Way Traffic.
We have an accident in Everett on southbound 5 at Pacific Avenue, blocking the right lane. No backup forming yet. In Federal Way, they are still digging out from a much earlier crash. Southbound 5, this is actually more like Fife at 70th Avenue. It's blocking the right lane. Traffic still stop and go from Highway 18, but the 18 drive westbound is getting a lot better. An earlier accident northbound 5, right around 900 in the Michigan Curve. It has been cleared, and the backup remains here, too. This report sponsored by Discover. Want to hear something amazing? Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year. Learn more at discover.com/match. Limitations apply. AM 770 KTTH.
So I'm going to make this really, really, really easy. The first four callers to 1-800-465-8770 wins a pair of tickets to tomorrow night's debate. It's the last four pairs that I have. I'm completely out of it at this point. Be the first four callers to 1-800-465-8770. You'll get a free pair of tickets. No parking. I ran out of those. But you will get two tickets for tomorrow night's debate. Don't enter the contest if you can't show up to Tacoma tomorrow night by 7 o'clock. We're going to have a gubernatorial debate. If you were not able to get tickets up until this point, we will be broadcasting on Monday the full debate with limited interruptions. 1-800-465-8770. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? Big picture.
So we got two pot-related stories, both of which are local, both of which I think are important. On March 18th, the city of Everett is having a public meeting about increasing the cap on pot shops from 5 to 8. Now, the state says any individual city can actually have up to 10. Everett decided to dip its toes in the waters of pot shops, kind of figure out where it is they're going to go with 5. And now they're probably looking at the amount of money that's coming in through the taxes, realizing that there's actually a market for the legal weed stores in this particular city, in this region. And they're saying, okay, let's think about going up to 8 because we like the tax dollars associated with it. But someone, or maybe a group of someones, are unhappy with this. Unhappy enough that they decided to send some anonymous flyers to people around the neighborhood where they believe is a possible location for one of the pot shops or some of the pot shops, because we're talking about unincorporated areas near Everett. So they sent it to the homes there. Now, according to the Everett Herald, it says the flyers claim that Everett has one of the highest per capita concentrations of such stores, that the city plans to annex up to 8 more retail shops into city limits, that 4 council members have publicly supported increasing access to medical marijuana, and that medical and recreational marijuana are, quote, the exact same thing. Almost none of that is true. Almost none of what is in that mailer is true. For one thing, Everett is not one of the top pot shop destinations per capita. That is not true. In fact, I believe Olympia is in the top spot. It is not Everett. No, there is no plan to annex any parts of the what they refer to as the urban growth areas. They're not talking about putting these in places where a lot of other shops are going up already. They're not doing that. And no, medical grade marijuana is not the same as recreational weed. They're different. And some of it has to do with the intensity of some of the testing that the medical grade marijuana goes through. So they're not the same. Now, here's the thing. I don't personally care about your position if you disagree with me on this. I mean, I don't take it personally. I think it's very subjective where most people fall on marijuana legalization. I supported marijuana legalization. I believe it is a conservative perspective to be supportive of the legalization of marijuana. But I understand why people are reluctant. In part, I would argue, because this entire conversation has been informed by some really, really, really bad science. We had bad science being shoved down our throats for very, very long, pretending that marijuana is the gateway drug to heroin. It is not. Actually, the study suggests alcohol is a gateway drug to marijuana. So unless you're willing to go after alcohol, maybe let's chill a little bit with the gateway drug stuff. But I get it. I would argue that whatever the position is you want to take, even when I disagree with it, why don't you put your name on it so we can actually have a conversation about it? Because otherwise, stuff like this happens, meaning someone will put out some flyer filled with misinformation, filled with stuff that's just flatly incorrect, flatly wrong. And it happens in part, that kind of sloppiness, because there's no consequences. There's no consequences whatsoever because they know they're not going to get called out. And so that's kind of annoying. Now, I do ultimately believe that there are some legitimate concerns about marijuana, different probably than the concerns that this person has, because one potential issue that some neighborhoods are dealing with is that they are going to be subject to a higher likelihood of getting robbed because they're not able to do business with banks in this country based on the way marijuana is classified as a narcotic. And so banks can't do business with these pot shops. What does that mean? It means the pot shops have more cash on hand. That's a problem. And as a result of that, people go in thinking you've got a lot of cash, plus you got the weed, and they go ahead and they rob you. In fact, detectives think that there are a recent rash of pot shop robberies are actually related. The latest robbery happened last week, I believe on Thursday, maybe Friday, in White Center. And thieves took over the store. They had their guns drawn.
It's a pretty terrifying robbery. And the fact that they're so brazen that they go in and just with guns, ordering everybody to the ground. We're just very thankful that they haven't shot anybody yet. But that's the concern, is that somebody could get seriously hurt.
So that's Ryan Abbott from King County Sheriff's Office. He says they hope someone will look at the security footage, which has been posted online at ComoNews.com and MyNorthwest.com, hoping someone might recognize these people by their clothing, by their shoes, by their mannerisms, because their faces were covered. And obviously, these are people who are still out there. Ryan Abbott says
they're just trying to scare everybody, take as much as they can. We're very thankful that nobody's been hurt. But the concern is at any moment they might accidentally fire the gun off, or they could purposely fire it off at any of these clerks that are just trying to do their job.
I hope at some point Congress gets their act together, realizing that we're going down the path of legalized marijuana nationwide, and we need to at least have laws that reflect the reality in the states in which it is legal so that they can actually do business with banks. Stop putting their employees' safety at risk by having them be such a cash-heavy store. Yes, they can have security, and a lot of them have security guards, but it's one dude at the front who's not going to be able to hold off three people with guns. And so if we actually care about protecting these people who are working in our neighborhoods, who are delivering to us incredibly high tax dollars, let's actually get our stuff together and start passing these bills. It's been stalled in the Senate. I believe it passed Congress, 6 months ago? In fact, Denny Heck, one of the one good things that I think he did was getting involved. He's the congressman from Tacoma, decided to get involved and help push along this bill alongside a congressman from Denver and from Portland. And so now it's in the hands of the Senate. They need to get their act together on this. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? The sports ball.
So the NHL just broke ground today in Northgate for the practice facility for the new Seattle NHL team. What did we decide was the name of the team? What did everyone say? It's the Kraken. Oh, God. Producer David, that's such a dumb name.
Yeah, I'm not a fan.
Let's just not release the Kraken, really? Mm. Oh, my God. Talk about not understanding what it... Or maybe they understand the branding, because their people, fans, are going to be called crackheads. They're going to be talking about going to the crack house instead of Kira. Like, maybe that's part of it. Maybe that's what they like about it. It just seems kind of silly. In this case, what I love about it is it's getting rid of what's known as the Northgate Mall, which is the worst mall in the world. It is the most useless mall, period. The only people who go there at this point are elderly people who want to just do the indoor exercising, just like walking around, because there's nothing even there. And at the point when there were a lot of malls, it was all low-end stuff, so I didn't like it. They are completely renovating the entire area. They're going to have not just three ice rinks, but they're going to have the headquarters of Seattle's NHL team there. They're going to have 1,200 housing units. They're going to have retail stores. They're going to have a hotel. And by the way, what Cairo 7 TV says that they're going to do is when they're practicing, fans get to go into the arena, into the ice rinks, and actually watch them and not get charged an arm and a leg. Of course, they are also doing the light rail that I think is almost fully operating. I mean, they're getting within a month or two, I think, of getting that in line. So I'm actually kind of excited for NHL. I've been saying NHL or Northgate is a really good neighborhood about a year, 2 years ago to live in because they haven't really been hit at that point with some of the high cost of living that Seattle has. And we knew that light rail was coming, but people weren't flocking to Northgate yet. Well, they probably, all the housing costs probably up. A little bit too late. Should have listened to me. Do we get our four winners? What are their first names? Let's give them a shout out.
Yeah, I actually have three of them so far, so maybe someone else can call in. Peggy, we got Chris, and we got Ron.
Nice. Congratulations. I will see you tomorrow night. And since we have one more pair of tickets to give away, 1-800-465-8770. The first person to call in wins the remaining pair of tickets that we have to tomorrow night's debate. 1-800-465-8770. Let's get you home the right way with Right Way Traffic. Welcome back to the Jason Rancho Live on this Thursday afternoon. Thank you so much for tuning in. I really do appreciate it. The city of Seattle seems ready to shut down the navigation team. Navigation team is that unit of officers and social workers that connect with people living in encampments all across Seattle. They connect, offering them resources should they accept them, but they also clean up these spots. Because they're unsanitary. That's not safe. Now, we knew that this was going to happen. We knew this threat was coming when the voters decided to elect more of a socialist Seattle City Council. They put on Tammy Morales on the council. She is a socialist. You add that to Shama Sawan, who is a socialist. They've been pretty clear about their position on the navigation team. The council believes that, frankly, you shouldn't demand too much of the homeless population. That we should accommodate them, living in our streets, our parks, our alleyways, our business fronts. Even if they're breaking laws, you're not supposed to do anything. You're supposed to bring them resources for them to stay where it is they are. Unless, of course, you were to give them a house. That is not going to happen. Even if these people are dealing with mental health issues or drug addictions, you're not supposed to, quote unquote, sweep them. They argue that that position, that strategy, lacks compassion. When you move them, it lacks compassion. And think about that just for a moment. They believe that the compassionate move to make is no move at all. You're out there, you're living under a freeway overpass or on the sides of I-5. We shouldn't move you. We want to keep you there. Now, the navigation team has been making these sweeps, cleaning them up, because they actually have compassion for folks. And when they do that, they offer them shelter. They connect with these folks, and a lot of them, not all of them, are given 72 hours notice. And they're told, look, we will put your stuff in our possession. We'll hang on to it. We'll put it in storage. And then we will get you a bed tonight indoors with access to clean clothes, with access to a working bathroom and shower, heat and electricity, and we'll get you off of these streets. And then we'll connect you with a social worker who's going to help you get your life back on track. For whatever reason it's off track, we will help you. The vast majority of the people that the navigation team has contact with doesn't want the help. They don't want the help for a variety of reasons, including, by the way, some of them who are dealing with an addiction or a mental health issue. Because of that, they don't have the same kind of reason when they're thinking about all of this stuff. Their mental health issues are keeping them from saying yes to the help. And of course, the laws here in Seattle don't apply to them. And so there's no real leverage that the navigation team has beyond, okay, well, we're going to have to sweep up this space. We can't force you to get into treatment. We can't force you to get mental health care. We can't force you to go into a shelter, but we can force you to leave at this point. And that has been a problem for folks like Shama Sawant, who held a meeting yesterday with this council, and they spoke directly to the navigation team at times, just kind of almost yelling at them, that it was tense.
This is not news to you. It's not news to the mayor's office that the sweeps are not working, and there's a reason why people use the word sweeps. It's because it's sweeping people from public spaces, which is the only space they have.
No. It's not the only space they have.
Not providing them an alternative.
That is a lie. That is 100% a lie. You just don't like the alternative, which is a bed in a shelter. I understand why some people don't want beds in a shelter. I don't want beds in a shelter. But I guess I'm in a position where I don't have to make that choice. But I will say this, someone living out on the street versus a shelter bed, the shelter bed is a better choice 100% of the time. And every single time the navigation team goes out there and they offer someone resources, it's because they can follow through. They will not offer you a bed and sweep you if they don't have that bed available or a tiny home available. They will not do that. They will offer it to you only when they have it, which means if they don't have it, they don't sweep.
And not providing them an alternative. I just cannot wrap my head around how out of touch this sort of bureaucratic presentation this is. You're saying you're doing all this. This is your frontline job, but it's not happening. Six people.
Councilmember Swan.
I cannot take this.
She can't take this. She can't take this. She has all the answers. She's not been able to put a dent into the problem. In fact, under her leadership, the problem has gotten worse. But she can't take this. She's mad that the navigation team isn't getting enough results. Part of their anger is that they're not getting people in shelter. That's interesting because they are offered it to. Shama Sawan is a big reason why they're not saying yes to the shelter beds. What's happening right now in Snohomish County? What's happening right now in Marysville? You've got individuals out there who are living out on the streets and they're breaking laws. And you know what? The mayor of Marysville, John Nearing, who is a great dude, this is a good mayor who knows what's at stake here. He's allowed his officers to offer two pathways to people living out on the streets breaking the law. Pathway number one is they will offer shelter. They will offer mental health care. They will offer what they need to get them off the streets. They want you to take that offer, but if you don't, you're going to jail. It's true. You're only going to go to jail maybe for a day. Maybe you'll get out that night. But that officer will be there the very next day making the exact same offer until you say yes. If you do not want to take us up on our offers, then you don't have to live here. You don't get to do whatever it is you want. But in Seattle, there's no leverage. So when the navigation team or an officer goes up to someone who's breaking the law and living out on the streets, they don't have any leverage to force that person to get onto that right path. Sometimes, yeah, you need to force that person onto that right path. They don't have any of that leverage. Here's Councilmember Tammy Morales.
We're spending an incredible amount of money moving people from one place to another without actually providing services to them, without actually getting people into shelter. And then we're using metrics of success like how much garbage we've cleaned up and how much property we've cleaned up.
Oh my gosh, you're using that as a metric of success? Did you really think we cared at the Seattle City Council as to whether or not our communities are going to be cleaned up? How dare you expect that to be looked at as a positive? That's what she's saying. She seems mad that the navigation team reports that they clean up lots of trash. In a city that I'm told over and over and over again, we care deeply about our parks. We care deeply about the outdoors. We care deeply about having space that's just not a concrete jungle. But when you're homeless and you're treating the land as a landfill, all of a sudden, you're not supposed to say this is success when we actually clean up our neighborhoods.
Rather than the true metric of success, which should be how many lives are we saving and how many people are we getting into housing?
You want to know how you save someone's life? You don't let them live out on the streets. It's cold, if you haven't noticed, Tammy Morales. I know that you live in a really, really, really expensive, nice piece of property in your district, and you probably have working heat, is my assumption, in your multimillion-dollar home. But people who are living out on the street, they are at a higher likelihood of dying out there in the elements, in the deep cold, in the wet winters. They are at a higher likelihood of dying than they would be if they were actually in a shelter.
That's what our performance-based outcomes should be focused on. And I haven't heard anybody talk about the real outcomes that we're looking for, which is about protecting people instead of just property and trash cleanup.
Okay. You're not protecting people when you get them from living in an alleyway? That's not protecting people? It's not protecting people when you get them off of a freeway on or off ramp. That's not protecting those people. They've set up a system in which the only way that they deem this a success is if you're getting someone into a home. As if, by the way, that actually goes after the underlying causes of why most of these people, or a lot of these folks, are living out on the streets. You do realize at one point they had a home, right? 99.999% of them were not born out on the streets. They had a home and they lost it. Simply saying, well, now we're going to put you back in a home, doesn't address why they lost their home in the first place. What if it's a mental health issue? Just putting them in a home, so for what? So they can suffer there alone? You don't think they're going to do the exact same thing, engage in the exact same behavior that they did before that ends up putting them back out on the streets? You want to just throw money at a problem without addressing the underlying issue, then complaining that we're throwing money at a problem that actually is addressing the underlying issue. That's the ironic part about this, and you got to figure out why they're doing this. It's very simple. They have an ideological perspective here that they believe the only way that you're going to fix this problem is more, quote-unquote, affordable housing. Now, of course, they can allow developers to develop houses, right, and apartment complexes and not cap them at six stories tall or 8 stories tall. They could have gone even 10 stories tall several years ago when they figured out all of the zoning issues. But they decided to cap it. And as a result, despite all the data on paper suggesting more and more people want to come here to work for Amazon and Microsoft and Boeing, they decided to put the cap on it, which meant there wasn't enough housing to meet the demand, which brought up the prices. And now you're saying, give us more money and we will effectively build affordable houses for these people. And we're not going to help get them off the streets until we get that money to put into these ideologically driven policies. I don't think they're coming from like a nefarious place. Well, maybe Shama. I don't think most of them are coming at this wanting to hurt people, but they are so blinded by their ideology, they are hurting people. How do I know they're hurting people? They're arguing to keep people out on the streets against the navigation team trying to bring people indoors. That tells you all you need to know. You're listening to the Jason Rantz Show. We've got some problems with the coronavirus. The biggest problem, apparently, is Mike Pence is in charge of coordinating the efforts on the ground between the federal government, the CDC, and the public. AOC has concerns, which means they must be serious. We're going to get into that when we come back. But first, let's get you home the right way with Right Way Traffic. Welcome back to the Jason Rantz Show live on this Thursday afternoon. And follow me on Twitter if you'd like. Twitter.com/JasonRantz. Twitter.com/JasonRantz. Yesterday, we played live for you the press conference from the president announcing the ways that the United States government is getting prepared for the coronavirus. There seems to be a general consensus that the coronavirus will, in fact, spread in the United States. The question is whether or not we are properly prepared to deal with the aftermath. Now, if you look at the stock market today and yesterday, the consensus from investors that no, we're not really ready for it because they are freaking out and they're selling stock. There's a lot of uncertainty there, which of course ends up hurting the president as he is using the strong economy as a major point as to why he should be reelected. And so yesterday he got a whole bunch of experts from the CDC up there on the platform with him to make the announcement that the smartest, the brightest scientific minds are working on this, and we've got a plan. And he decided to announce that the Vice President, Mike Pence, would take a role in ensuring that everyone's talking to each other, that the CDC is getting what they need, that state health departments are getting what they need, that information is being shared, that there is a good go-between for the White House and Congress, especially when it comes to the funding bills. He spoke earlier today at CPAC.
President Donald Trump has no higher priority than the health, safety, and well-being of the American people. Last month, following word of the outbreak of the coronavirus in China, President Trump took unprecedented action to protect the health of Americans. He declared a public health emergency. We suspended travel to the United States from China. We initiated quarantine efforts for American citizens returning and established a White House Coronavirus Task Force, which has literally met every single day to protect the American people.
There's some Democrats out there who don't like that Mike Pence is in charge.
It's time for the dumbest tweet of the day.
Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, AOC, is not a fan of this. She sent a tweet last night that said, as Governor Pence's science denial contributed to one of the worst HIV outbreaks in Indiana's history. He is not a medical doctor. He is not a health expert. He is not qualified nor positioned in any way to protect our public health.
And that was the dumbest tweet of the day.
So I can't quite tell, if I'm being totally honest, whether or not AOC is tweeting this kind of stuff out to rile up her base, or if she literally thinks Mike Pence is going to put on a lab coat and start doing some medical research. This seems to indicate she has no idea what his role is going to be. He's the person who's going to help the coordination efforts. He's not actually doing the research. You know that, AOC. What's kind of interesting about this is the bartender with no science background is leading the charge for the New Green Deal. This is the woman who compared childbirth to dog breeding. But she is now saying Mike Pence, because he's not a medical doctor, should have nothing to say with the political ramifications and the coordination between the White House, the Congress, and the CDC. You realize that's how it works, yeah? AOC gets to be a voice for the New Green Deal despite not having any environmentalist credentials beyond, I just believe some stuff. She doesn't have any training. That's not what we expect of people who come up with bills. We expect that they're connecting with people who are smart, who are aligned with some of the missions and principles and values, and then they come up with policy. So it's very weird for her to say that. But let's talk about this HIV outbreak story that they're trying to pin on Mike Pence. To be clear, the HIV outbreak that happened in Indiana, and yes, it was the worst in Indiana's history, something like 245, 246 individuals contracting HIV, they got it from sharing needles. That's what led to the problem. This wasn't over some purported science denial on the side of Mike Pence. Mike Pence takes a position that's very mainstream. It's about 50-50. I suppose it depends on where you live. He didn't want to hand out clean needles to addicts. Why? Because when you give clean needles to addicts, you know what they continue to do? Use the needles to shoot up. It is true that it is a harm reduction policy to give clean needles to individuals because they might end up doing it anyway. But number one, it doesn't actually stop the drug addiction. And number two, in the long term, it makes the problem worse. Now, Mike Pence was trying to get them into treatment. He was trying to put funding into treatment. They got some funding into treatment, but it didn't work. Now, you can disagree and say that's not the right policy. Okay. Clearly, we're having a national conversation about that. We're having a conversation about that here when we're talking about heroin injection sites. I don't think that's the right move. I don't think we should be putting federal dollars into it or local dollars into allowing people to shoot up because it's ultimately going to kill them. But it is also true that if you don't do that, in cases where they're not nearby, where they otherwise would be going to a heroin injection site, they're going to shoot up anyway. It is a complicated issue. In a lot of ways, it's a moral issue. It's a values-based issue. But let's not pretend that the entire country is all like, yeah, if you don't want to give clean needles to people, you're anti-science. No, you're not. You have a disagreement on a public health issue. And when you're the governor in Indiana or the mayor in Seattle, you get to weigh in on these issues. And ultimately, depending on the circumstances, you get to actually decide policy. And it wasn't just Governor Pence who was deciding that policy. It was the Indiana state government as well. Politicians within the government. Anti-science. Just stop this nonsense. You're listening to The Jason Rand Show. I had a fun tweet about that last night. If you're not following me on Twitter, you missed it. That's sad. Text the keyword Twitter to 1-800-465-877. I'll send you a link so you can follow me on Twitter and all of the hosts on KTTH. Text Twitter to 1-800-465-877. 8770. When we come back, more to come.